Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
I'm doing well, but, you know, I think I have a little bit of studio amnesia because we usually do this show from the Glen Lake studio of Abernathy. Here we are downtown. This is going to be a great segment. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you a gentleman that is no stranger to the microphone. Please welcome to the show, if you will, Mr. Mitch Schlemmer. How you doing, man?
All right, buddy. It's great to finally be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. I can remember the very first time that we met in that little Chinese restaurant, and Lee and I both told each other right after that meal, there's something to this guy. We gotta learn more, and boy, have you been up to a lot of cool stuff since that day. Get us caught up, man. What are you doing down here?
Well, I tell you, I enjoyed that. That's probably the best Chinese I've had since I've been here. And the only thing better than the Chinese was meeting you guys. And you could tell that you guys were onto some exciting things as well. I think what you're doing is much needed. But, you know, my story's pretty simple. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. Sometimes they call us serial entrepreneurs. My last venture I started 20 years ago with the goal of building what many have called the ESPN of entrepreneurship. So I started something called the Let's Talk Business Network. And I did not understand why entrepreneurs didn't have a voice. And so I went on a 50,000-watt radio station in New York, WEVD, which today is owned by ESPN, 1050, and started doing this show, Let's Talk Business. 6 months later, it was picked up nationally, and eventually I moved to CBS, and I was on for about 12 years. And while I'm building this support network for entrepreneurs, which is really my core business, and interviewing and getting to know and servicing some great entrepreneurs, I started to say to myself, boy, there's another need. Why in the world is there not an entrepreneurship hall of fame? You got the baseball hall of fame, the football hall of fame, the quilting hall of fame, the bowling hall of fame, the fly fishing hall of fame. And here, entrepreneurs drive this country, and we didn't have one. So I founded it, and I founded it online, but I had a very clear vision, and that was a physical building. And I got very fortunate a few years ago. I got in a position where I could really pursue this dream, was to really build a true physical entrepreneurship hall of fame, which, as you guys know, has kind of transitioned and has transitioned now to really opening an epicenter for entrepreneurship, of which the Entrepreneurship Hall of Fame is just one part of it. And we have opened a brand new headquarters in the Marquee One Tower right here in downtown Atlanta.
Now, in this epicenter, what do you envision going on there?
Well, I think some of the things, not only that we envision that's going on, Lee, is going on, and that is we have been doing events for years before we were even in this space. For example, one of them at the time was called Let's Talk Business Live. It was exactly like inside the Actors Studio. We're on stage in front of a live audience. I would interview top entrepreneurs from around the world. So now we're going to be doing Epicenter Lives, coaching, consulting. Yesterday I had meetings with three different entrepreneurs at three different levels, one looking to franchise their business, one having some problems with their business, and then I met with a young entrepreneur that has some ideas. So we're doing a lot of that work as well. Eventually we're going to be running all kinds of other things, you know, it's all about, you know, and I think our tag kind of says it well, and that's really about illuminating the past, empowering the present, and inspiring the future, but that's only a small taste.
Now, the Epicenter, this sounds like the Hall of Fame element of the Epicenter is not the sole reason of going there. This is going to be kind of a working ranch.
Exactly.
Right?
And I think the big thing, anyone that knows franchising, and for those listeners that really don't know, the fact of the matter is what great franchisors do is they aggregate a very fragmented industry. They see a mom-and-pop industry, and they say to themselves, I think I can bring organization to this disorganized industry. For those of you listening, if you don't know it, over $2 trillion go through franchise outlets every year. That's right, trillion, not billion. Over 50% of all retail outlets go through franchises. So, and why I said that is I have a very strong background in franchising, and I basically connected the dot when I look at the entrepreneurial marketplace, not only here in the United States, but globally, and how it's growing. it becomes very clear to me that wouldn't it be great if there was a place, an epicenter, the place that would aggregate a lot of these resources and we all work together for a common mission. And the mission really is to eventually dramatically increase the success rates of businesses, especially the first few years of operations. That statistic, as long as I've been on the journey, which is 35 years, has never virtually changed, that within about 2 years, 70% of all businesses fail. And I like to use the word die because if you ever run a business and you ever build one, just like you guys are doing, and for some reason you don't make it, you'll see what it feels like. You will clearly see. And to think of all the people out there, of which the majority of them put up their own money, you know, they love what they do and they don't make it, it's not acceptable. And no one has really shed a light on this until now.
Now, you're saying that 70% of businesses fail within the first 2 years, I guess, and that, but yet there seems to be a never-ending supply of people willing to try.
Yeah, I think...
How do you kind of...
Well, I think they're two separate subjects. I think the ability to want to open up a business, you know, we do a lot of teaching entrepreneurship to kids. And you get in a classroom with kids and you say, how many of you one day would like to open your own business? And 80 or 90% of them raise their hands. Corporate America has completely changed. Used to have security. You know, there was a time that when you got out of college and you went to IBM or anyone else, that you really did get a dinner 30, 40 years later. And you might have got a watch and a pen. You don't get that anymore. So there's that insecurity. Then you go into a global recession, not even a local recession, and people are losing jobs at record rates. Well, they eventually reach a point where they say, you know what, I got to do something, and they open their own business. And here's the statistic that I find fascinating that shows the need is being driven by some of these factors, and that is there's about 60 million home-based businesses. A new home-based business opens up about every 6 seconds, which I think is a natural audience for your shows as well. So the need is being created by this changing dynamics and the entrepreneurial spirit. And that has only been increasing. Also, Lee, is that when I started, I can still hear my late father, and here I am running a business and then another business, and he's still saying to me, you know what, I still think you're right. You'd be a great surgeon. You should go to medical school and so on and so forth. And all he wanted me to do was play it safe because, you know, one, I didn't know I was an entrepreneur. Most people couldn't spell it. And if you were one, you were a kook. You know, you weren't even a renegade. Who in the world would go out on their own, take all this risk, so on and so forth? So where am I taking this? It's only really in the last 10 years or so that entrepreneurs have become iconic. And in the last 5 years, you know, some of the most prolific people that we all know and admire, from the late, obviously, Steve Jobs to Bill Gates to Atlanta's own Sarah Blakely. So I think, hopefully I answered your question. The need is being created by a lot of forces, but it doesn't change the fact. It's almost like getting pregnant. Just because you get pregnant doesn't mean you're going to be a good parent. And just because you've now opened up a business, are you going to make it? And what I didn't say to you is that after the first 2 years, about another 20% die. So within about 4 or 5 years, 90% of all businesses that start are dead. Unacceptable.
Right. So how do you get and keep an effort like the Epicenter Entrepreneurship Hall of Fame funded?
Well, I think that's not just what many might call the $64,000 question. In reality, that's my job. My job is to lead here. My job is to surround ourselves with great people that believe in this vision. And there's a lot of money out there, but the real key is getting to the people with the money. And making this theirs as well. In other words, you don't go to them and say, well, here's the floor plan, and Frank Gehry's going to design it, and it's going to be 100,000 square feet, and here's exactly what it is. No, here's what we're doing. Here's what the plan is. Here's what the numbers we think they are. But what do you think? Because a lot of these people that can make things happen, you know, they've been very successful. You know, the Arthur Blanks and the Bernie Marcuses, and obviously I'm naming Home Depot as just an example. You know, they know what they're doing, so... what I'm excited about is there's some great people getting deeply involved. Some of them you guys know as well, like Steve Gross from Gross Collins is very involved in his Rolodex. So that's the job, and it will happen in time. It takes time, and it takes time to earn trust, especially in a market where, quote-unquote, as I like to say, is not a home game for me.
Now, you recently had an awards banquet where you honored a bunch of entrepreneurs. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yep. And you and Max were there, which was real nice. And if you don't know, Max is Lee's son. What I knew was we needed to do something that would be tangible, that people could say, you know, what is this Entrepreneurship Hall of Fame? And, you know, what I hear about it, and I hear about this epicenter. And I said, let's do a real induction event, no different than when you watch the induction event from Cooperstown or you watch the event on TV for in Canton before the football game. Let's do a real induction event. What I didn't do, and I should have done, was had about a 10 or 11-month run-up. So in 4 months, I basically, along with a wonderful team of people, put together a plan and executed. And as Lee is asking, on December 1st, 2012, at the estate owned by Tony Conway, which is a brand-new, beautiful place, we held our first inaugural induction event for the class of 2012. This year's inductees included Atlanta's very own Sarah Blakely, the first female billionaire. A great success story with Spanx, a name that a lot of people do know also, and that is Truett Cathy. 91 years old was there, and obviously the founder of Chick-fil-A, his father Dan, was there. Then there's some that if I mention their names, most people wouldn't know. If they walk in an airport, you would never know them. And for example, one of them is number 179 on the Fortune 400, richest people in the world. And he is the founder of Subway. Subway today has over 38,000 units worldwide in over 90 countries. And, well, who is he? Well, I actually know him and know him very well. And we did him as well, and that's Fred DeLuca. So Fred was there. There's a great entrepreneur in Florida that was also inducted by the name of Harris Rosen, and famous Dave Anderson. Famous Dave is a guy very well known. He has started a lot of things, but right now is his barbecue places. So it was really, and I think you could talk more to it. I mean, it really was Lee.
Well, Lee
really
didn't
incredible
make the
night.
Cut, though. Lee didn't make the cut.
Not this year. Not this year, but hey, hey, you know what? Hopefully the place is going to be around a long time.
Right.
So if he doesn't get in, Max will. But
Now, the event, what I liked was you had people that introduced each of the inductees, and they got to kind of give you a glimpse about their journey a little bit and about what made them successful, or partially what made them successful. And then the inductees also spoke. And it was very informative, and I would imagine that that's what your epicenter is going to be. You're going to have that combination of, you know, these goals and these successful people that you can look up to and emulate, but also you would get some learning about how you yourself can avoid being those 70% that don't make it the first couple of years.
Spot on. And I think the big thing is when you start as an entrepreneur, you might eventually hear a term called OPM, other people's money.
Right.
And I had coined a long time ago OPE, other people's experiences. And the model of the Let's Talk Business Network, and eventually, which was a business I had built and sold after 20 years, is very similar, some of the values and what we want to do. And that's to expose people to other people's journey. And I'm talking the good, the bad, and the ugly, because that's another way, as you guys know, to really learn. Oh, no
right.
question.
Yeah.
And they want to share. That's the best part of it. If there's anything that I heard after that event, which was a little bit over 2.5 months ago, was, man, like Fred was so approachable, and Sarah was so approachable, and Harris was so approachable, and Dave was great. And one of the things we also did, and this is important, is that, you know, these people that build billion-dollar businesses, you know, it's almost like being, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, or Michael Jordan, or LeBron James, and you know, other athletes or people. Those people are the freaks of nature. But what about all those people out there building $10 million businesses, 20, 50, or 100?
Right.
You know, what about them? Shouldn't they also, like, be recognized? And I say yes. So I consciously made a separate set of awards. I actually created the Epicenter Entrepreneurship Awards, and we gave three awards. One was for the veteran entrepreneurship winner, which was Ray Margiano, who should get on your show. Here's a guy that's a vet that has built numerous franchise businesses, very successful, really a wonderful guy. And he's giving back in many ways, including helping vets get in business. And then we also did a Young Entrepreneurship Hall of Fame Award, and we had Dave Cook there representing both him and his sister. Their story's pretty simple. In high school, the sister came up with an idea. She was 15 for a better yearbook. She got her brother. They made some T-shirts. They created a website. They got some buzz. And before you know it, they actually had a business. So here they are in 11th grade. They're generating revenues. In 12th grade, they're generating revenues well over $500,000. And fast forward, their Harvard MBA brother, who was building a company, sold his company, came in, became their CEO, and they built the business. And last year, the company sold for over $100 million. And so here they are. And it was really, really special. And the last one was the epicenter has really a double meaning. And the one of the ones that's obvious is obviously the middle of something, shaking things up, the place. The other one is E stands for entrepreneurship, P stands for philanthropy, and I stands for innovation. That P and I is a critical component to the values that inductees must get. So we also created a special philanthropic and social entrepreneurship award winner, which was given to Steve Mariotti, the founder of NIFTY, which is the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, which is in over 50 countries today, teaching entrepreneurship to underprivileged kids all around the world. They have taught over 500,000 kids how to go in and to start their own business.
Now, culturally, is teaching kids, does that work in different cultures, or is it unique to America?
It's not unique to America, and in being in 50 countries, it's proven out that their hunger and taste, just because they might speak a different language, it's never been greater.
That in our country, failure isn't usually the end of the world, but in some cultures, you only get one swing of the bat.
Yeah, and I think what you're alluding to, for example, let's go with Japan. And I think your question's a very good question. In certain cultures, like Japan, boy, you won and pretty much you're done. It's under that heading of losing face. But there's plenty of other places where, you know what, failure's a part of it, and you dust yourself off and you get back up. And when you look at the DNA of most entrepreneurs, they actually have some failures in that journey.
So in very short order, like later this month, you'll be launching the Epicenter Network. Speak to that a little bit, if you will.
I'm really excited. You know, I go back to that Chinese lunch and Stan Friedman there. And it's kind of funny where you go. And I said it before. I think you guys really have something. And I'm really honored to have the Epicenter get involved with you guys. And I've been doing a show, which many know, called Let's Talk Business for 20 years. And I still come out of Atlanta on WREK here in Atlanta every Tuesday from 12 to 1. But there's other programming that I really want to do other than just that. And that's what this network's going to be. We'll call it an ESPN for entrepreneurship, the Epicenter Network. We're going to have a show called Mindset Matters. We're going to still have Let's Talk Business Network. And there's some other shows that maybe for another interview I'll share with you that we're going to be bringing in. But I really thank you guys. I thank you guys for believing in what we want to do.
Now, can you share a little bit about what's going to happen on those shows? And is this going to be some of the educational component of the Epicenter's mission?
Yes, yes. And one of the things is let's take Mindset Matters, which is going to be a show. And that is that I am blessed. About 5 years ago, I co-founded a foundation with three other entrepreneurs, Scott Schickler, Jeff Waller, and Juan Casimiro, and we created the Magic Wand Foundation in order to build a global empowerment network for youth. Our DNA, a lot of us, especially Juan and Scott, is in youth empowerment. And we basically did a study. We spent a lot of money. We went through a lot of interviews, including, you know, over 600 of my interviews. And we came up with seven mindsets. Our basic belief is that when you look at the success of people, it's not really their race or obviously their religion or their height or whatever. It really is above the neck. So we came up with seven mindsets to live your ultimate life. And where I'm going with that is those mindsets are really, really powerful. We've been teaching them for years. We run a program with Disney called the Ultimate Life Summit, which will be July 13th through the 20th in Orlando at the Harris Rosen Shingle Creek. And I'm excited because I think these mindsets and what goes with it and people that have lived them, there's some great stories, which are a lot. Some of them were told last night. Every year we raise money for the one magical night is what the name of the event for the Magic Wand Foundation. And we had it at the Fox Theater. And we brought kids in that have been through the programs and gave our first ever Youth Empowerment Awards. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited, you know. about really having things that are going on in the epicenter. We might call it inside the epicenter. So I think it's going to be great.
Talk a little bit more about these mindsets. Can you really impact a kid at a young age? You've seen the results of that, of kind of identifying some of these mindsets and educating them and getting them empowered to live a more productive life?
Well, one of the things that happens is when you run foundations and you want to raise money, eventually people want data. They want proof.
Right.
So we went into a school in right here in Atlanta, in Georgia, in Roswell. And this teacher, Mimi Gamel, basically is responsible for kids graduating. And if you don't know the statistic, 40-50% of all kids never graduate high school. Another real sin and shame.
I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is that high. And all they can do is build more and more prisons. And why I share this with you is she got exposed to the seven mindsets, and she said, I'd like for you to come in and talk to my kids. And then she eventually went to the Ultimate Life Summit and said, God, if you guys could come here in here like once a month and teach them, I think things could change. So we did that for well over a year. And we did a study, and we announced it last night, and 23% of her kids were graduating that were put in this program because they were in trouble.
This is at-risk kids?
At-risk kids. And as a result of this program, we announced that 83% of all kids now in that class will graduate. So it does work. My point is that we believe that we created a great drug for this problem, and it's amazing what it can do. Matter of fact, there's a great book that Scott and Jeff that did write called The Seven Mindsets to Live Your Ultimate Life. People can find it at sevenmindsets.com.
We are going to have a blast working with Mitch with this Epicenter Network. We're going to have a great deal of fun, and we're going to help some folks. I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, Mitch, if people wanted to get involved at the Epicenter, is there a website?
They can go to currently right now, the Epicenter actually in the Marquee One Tower where we are on the second floor, which is right off of Peachtree Center Avenue and John Portman Boulevard, is being built. So they can go to this website and they can learn all about the Entrepreneurship Hall of Fame and also some about the Epicenter. And that's www.thehallofame.com. So that's www.thehallofame.com. They can always send email to mitch@ltbn.com. That's mitch@ltbn.com. And I'd be glad to help them come down and see us and get on board. It's going to be an incredible journey for all of us.
And on the website, there's a lot of information. There's audio, video, there's resources. It's just an amazing website, and it's an amazing mission, and we're proud to be part of it.
Well, I know one thing I can share you based on these 35 years, and that is ideas are cheap. And the name of the game is execution. And if you want to build something great, regardless of its size, you got to get a lot of good people around you, and you got to get them to believe, and you got to make it theirs. And once they do that, if you're really smart, you learn to get out of the way. So my goal is to get as many good, smart people like you guys and others involved. And one day that ribbon cutting ceremony happens. It might be 7 or 8 years from now when that eventual building for the Epicenter is built. But I think we got a great start.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show. Again, the website is thehallofame.com. Mitch Schlemmer, Lee Cantor, Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.